Then circle the word endurance in the end of verse 3. In verse 5, circle the word wisdom. In verse 6, circle the word faith. And in verse 8, circle the word double-minded. So we're going to cover about those seven words in these eight verses. So let's start in verse 1 or verse 2 there, count it joy. So why is joy important? In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if the devil can steal your joy, then he also gets your strength. So you cannot, no way, no how, let the devil steal your joy, because joy is a part of endurance. It is a part of your strength. And actually, joy is an inside-out job. That means you have to have your core good. Amen? My core, I'm 57. I found out Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday, all the way into Thursday, that my core is not strong enough. Monday, I went to Wisconsin Rapids. We cleaned up three different homes. I had most of the time, which is probably not a wise decision. I have a 70cc big saw, and I have a smaller 026. The 026 is better for limbing, but it doesn't cut it as fast as I want to. So most of the day, I have the John's Root 70cc. You guys didn't care about that at all, did you? All right? But when you have a chainsaw that's heavy and you're limbing and you have a lot of it because you're cutting trees on top of roofs over the top of your head, which nobody from OSHA is here today, are they? All right, because we didn't pass all of OSHA's laws on Monday. But anyway, I found out because I was in pain Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, even all the way. No, it got better by Thursday. All right. But I found out that my core wasn't as strong as I needed it to be because I had the saw up here, and you know what? It caused me pain, all right? But we had to get the job done. Those three homes, whatever, needed to be clear. They would like power. They would like the trees that are on top of their home to be not on top of their home so the power company can come and hook up power and they can do all the things they want to do. So why did I say all that? It's an inside-out job. If you want to have joy, your core has to be good. What is your core? Your core is your heart. Your core is your soul. Your core is your relationship with God. And if your core is not strong, it affects everything. That's why I don't hit the golf ball as far. That's why I don't work as long. Whatever. Why? Because I don't do enough stuff with my core, because everything is basically connected to the core. You guys with me here this morning? You got to make sure spiritually that your core is strong. If your core is not strong, you're not going to endure. All right? You know, a job got in my way. I would have been back up there several days this week, but anyway, why did I say that? Whatever. All right? So if you want joy, if you want strength, if you want a good life, your core has to be good. It has to be strong. You have to have a sweet, sweet, close relationship with God. Because that affects every single thing to do with your life. Amen? You like joy, amen? And you want the strength of the Lord. Verse 2, you're going to have trials. That was my sermon last week, wasn't it? All right? Do you remember last Saturday? All right, we had a party at the parsonage. Thank you, Todd. Todd is an amazing, hard worker. He's always available 99% of the time to help me to set up all the games and all the stuff I'm going to do. So we set up a lot of games Friday. And then, can you imagine that the Lord allowed a little bit of wind to come through here so there's sticks everywhere Saturday morning? Okay? So we cleaned up sticks. And then what happened at noon last Saturday? Another storm came through. Well, Dan to the rescue, Todd to the rescue. I had family up, but whatever. The sticks got all cleaned up. All right. Do you remember in the sermon last week, I was thinking about complaining for a minute? Then I went up to Wisconsin Rapids, and two of the homes we cleaned up, the one next to it, had seven trees on their garage, their roof, and their shed. Seven humongous trees, every roof totaled, okay? And I'm thinking, I don't think I'm going to complain about picking up a couple branches. Are you with me here this morning? Joy is a choice. You can choose to look at the negative and be pessimistic. You can choose to complain. I don't recommend it. If you're a complainer, you won't have joy. If you're a complainer, you will not have a great life. It's as simple as that. And boy, Pastor, you make it sound pretty simple. Just don't complain and just have joy. Well, it's not simple, but you can choose, and there's things to do that will help you. It's all a matter of perspective. Monday, my perspective totally changed. Trust me, I'm not complaining about picking up a couple sticks for a long time, amen? All right, so verse 2, you're going to have trials. So the key is how you're going to respond to those trials. Okay? I told you stories. I tell you, you know, sermons meet the rubber meets the road when I just tell you about myself. When I'm down in Tennessee, you're driving 14 hours to get home. You're dealing with all the schedule and all the different things. I was tempted to allow the stress and the pressure of me not getting a couple hours of sleep to make a decision that would have been a wrong decision. What comes out when you're squeezed? You know what comes out? What's inside? You know what comes out of you sometimes? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know what? When you get squeezed, you know what comes out? Your selfishness and your preferences. And you get mad and you get offended because you didn't get your way and you didn't get to do what you wanted to do. And guess what? Welcome to marriage. Welcome to family. Welcome to church. Welcome to work. Welcome to life. Hello, anybody out there? All right, but you want to have a good life. So you got James, trust me, he went through more than you did. You know, different commentaries say different things, but most likely he died, they threw him off the temple, and then he is still alive and they beat him to death. You can read that with different stories, all right? You might read something different, but he did not have always an easy life. And once in a while you want to complain about your life, all you have to do is read about Paul, read about Jesus, read about everybody in the Bible and all the difficulties they went through, and you realize, no, I'm going to be like them. Exactly what James said, I'm going to count it joy. All right. Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to look at probably five different passages today. So the first word is joy. The second word is trials. We'll talk about trials through the message. So what's going to cause you to respond well to the trials? This is an amazing story. I'm going to paraphrase part of the story. When the Bible's silent, you're supposed to be silent, but part of it, you just got to try to figure it out. And today, I'm going to try to figure out part of this passage. I'm not saying, thus says the Lord. I'm saying, this is what Andy thinks it's saying. So Genesis chapter 32, so Jacob, in verse 24, was left alone. And the man, or another translation, you could say it was an angel that wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. 25, he saw that he had not prevailed against him. He touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated. I think he had that the rest of his life, didn't he? Are you guys with me? All right. Then he said, let me go. The angel's wrestling with Jacob. The dawn is breaking. But he said, here's Jacob. You want a blessing? You want joy? You want a good life? Be like Jacob. Have tenacity. I will not let you go unless you bless me. All right. That's the way you got to be with God. I've made up my mind. God, I'm not letting go. And you know, no matter what, I'm not letting go of God because he's the best thing that ever happened to me. All right. But no matter what, I'm going to prevail. I'm going to have tenacity. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to fight for that blessing because I believe that that's the will of God for my life and it's the will of God for your life as well. So I'm not going to let go. This is a key verse. I'm reading into this verse a little bit. So he said to him, what is your name? Anybody want to tell me why he asked Jacob, what is your name? Okay, now I'm paraphrasing here because the Bible doesn't answer this, but I'm telling you what I think it says. Why did he ask Jacob his name? Anybody know? What's that? There's the answer. There's the guy. There's the smart one. He must have two kids that are in full-time ministry. Amen. All right. What does your name mean? What did Jacob mean? Help me out with that one. Surplanter? Deceiver? Do you realize that he was a liar? A con? A cheat? Deceiver? Whatever you want to call. That's who Jacob was. He conned his brother out of the blessing. Now, I don't understand all the sovereignty of God, but that's exactly what happened. You know, he wanted the blessing. You know, Esau sold him his birthright. That's a whole other story. But, you know, he cheated, and his mom was a part of the cheating, you know, conning to get the blessing. The angel was saying, who are you? Because we don't want you to be the deceiver and the con and the surplanter and the liar and all those things the rest of your life. We don't want you to continue in your sin. We don't want you to continue in your old life. Amen? What did he say? He said, I'm Jacob. Well, you're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be Israel. Does anybody know what that means? Prince of God. I've got a new name for you, and he has a new name for you. Okay? My name was I'm sorry, do not repeat. You guys were bad when my sister was up here last week. Almost every one of you that went and talked to my sister said how sorry they feel for her being my sister. She ratted on all of you. She didn't. No. Why am I saying that? Oh, a new name. You, when you get born again, you should get a new name. All right? I was praying, not fully, but that my name would change and that I wouldn't be the one kid that Dad said, you caused more trouble than all the rest of the ones combined. Now, when Dad comes, don't ask the details of that, all right? But that was my name once in a while, all right? I still like to have a little fun. I still get in trouble every day of my life, all right? Barb, what are you laughing at? You get in trouble every day too, all right? Yes, you, all right? All right, but God wants to change your name. He doesn't want you to be the deceiver or the liar or the con. He doesn't want you to be the old man. You don't have to be the new old man. You've been made a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things come new. You don't have to be a drunk anymore. You don't have to be a drug addict anymore. You don't have to be a fornicator anymore. You don't have to be whatever you want to call it anymore. That's the old man. I can be a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's what he was dealing with him right there. And the truth of the matter is, he's asking you every day of your life, what's your name? And the problem is, we are not willing to deal with who we are. If you don't get to the root of who you are, your life will never change. You want them to know the definition of insanity in your walk with the Lord is to repeat the same behavior and expect different results. If you want to change your future, you need to stop and analyze what's going on right now and why it's going on right now. Now, part of it, we live in a fallen world, so you can blame part of it on the devil. Part of it, the devil hates you as a Christian. That's part of it. But otherwise, you also have to have the guts and the fortitude, which we're not good at nowadays. Nowadays, if we get to the root in the church, people don't like that. You know, if I actually preach what I want to preach on holiness, and someday I will when I'm here a little bit longer, you know what? Because I have to preach on holiness. We have to get to the root of the problem, because if we don't have holiness, we won't see God. We'll never have revival. You know, we need revival in America. We need revival in the American church. And every revival had holiness, and you can't have holiness unless you deal with the roots. But most people... Come on, I'm just being honest. I don't like looking at the roots. Do you like it when your spouse points out the things that are wrong with you? Raise your hands if you like that. All right? But that's what the angel was doing, Jacob. Look at what's going on in your life. And if you want to change your future, you have to change what's going on right here. Amen. Why is it that you asked me your name? And he blessed them there. So Jacob named the place Peniel. For he said, I've been seeing God face to face, so that my life has been preserved. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 14. All right, so that's verse 2, dealing with trials. Trials reveal our character. Come on, you guys, you have pressure, what's going to happen? What's inside is going to come out. What's going to happen this coming week? You're going to pray for your pastor every single day. Can you believe that Jenny signed me up to run around with she didn't sign up, I really did. We're blaming it on her, all right? To run around with kids from basically 6:30 in the morning to 11:30 every night with 400 kids, do you think that there's a possibility that my patience might be tested once or twice this coming week? Do you think that I might be tempted to do something unholy? All right, I don't see any of the boys that are in my cabin. I'll give them a good warning tomorrow morning, all right? Anyway, so pressure reveals what's inside of us. Sometimes something comes out of me. You ever hit your finger with a hammer?
No.
Okay? Is anybody don't raise your hand. Has anybody swore when that happened? Come on. When you get tests, when you have trials, what's inside comes out, and what's actually the test is good. Because it shows you that you need more strength. I already knew before I started chainsawing on Monday that my core was not strong enough to do what I needed to do. It revealed a lack of core, a lack of strength. The trial will reveal your character. The trial will reveal what's in your heart. And then I want to take that heart to God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know what? He will. Because we're all sinners and we all need God's mercy. All right, Matthew chapter 14. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, verse 28, command me to come. Well, what's Jesus going to say? Because it was Jesus. He said, if it's you, what could Jesus say there? He had to say, come, didn't he? So what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. We want to talk about Peter sinking, but how many of you have walked on water? Okay, if you didn't realize it, I walk on water every winter when I go ice fishing. Come on, you got to laugh. It's a little bit funny, wasn't it? All right? But Peter was walking on water, not on ice, all right? Peter got out of the boat, but he saw the wind. Get to what? Reality hit. The wind and the storm and the trials and the difficulty and the persecution is going to come to your life. No ands, ifs, or buts. If you're not walking in it right now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but guess what? Sometime this year, you're going to walk through the trial. You're going to walk through the fire. But when you walk through the fire, Isaiah says you don't have to be burned. Isaiah also said when you walk through the water, you don't have to be drowned. Amen? You don't have to let the trial overcome you. I've already made up my mind. I'll say it every month that I'm here, whatever, for a long, long time. I don't care what trial comes. I don't like trials. But I've already made up my heart for the rest of my life. I'm going to be nuts and crazy in love, passionate with Jesus and passionate with his church and passionate with the will of God and serving him. It's not based on how many are here. All right, I would love for this place to be filled. I'm believing, trusting God that the next 5 months are going to be great 5 months here at Crossroads. Amen? You don't let trials change your fervor and passion for Jesus. All right, what else about Peter? So he got his eyes off Jesus. You want to know how you fail during the trial? You get your eyes off Jesus. You know, so many people get mad at God. That's not the right person to get mad at. You know what? God is perfect. God is good. He always loves you. We're never going to know the whys. On this side of life, you're not going to know. I'm not going to know why Carolyn died of cancer. I'm not going to know that answer. I'm not going to know the answer why my mom suffered with arthritis and died at age 66. I'm not going to always know the answers to those questions. But once again, you can make up your mind of how you're going to serve the Lord. Don't get your eye on the cancer. Don't get your eye on the circumstance. Don't get your eye on the lack of finances or lack of people in church or this or that or that. Keep your eyes on Jesus because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We're going to talk about perseverance today, and you're going to endure and you're going to persevere. But if you get your eye off the prize, if you get your eye off the goal, if you get your eye off of that you're going to stand before God and you get an account of your life, you might get a little slack. I keep telling you this, but after I'm here a little bit longer, I'm going to tell you what I think about the end times. And in the end times, guess what? It is not a good time to be lukewarm. You guys hear what I just said? The Lord is coming in our lifetime. I believe that with all my heart. Second coming, rapture, and all kinds of things I believe are going to happen in my lifetime. And let me just tell you this. It's my job to prepare you for difficult times so that you can endure and persevere. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get harder. And I want you to be right with God. And I don't want you to be lukewarm. And I don't want you to be playing church. And I actually want you to be doing all the Ten Commandments when the Lord comes back. Are you with me this morning? Don't get your eye off Jesus. Don't get it on the wind, the storm, and all those different things. You can't tell I like preaching, can you? Or that I believe what I'm preaching? About a week ago, my brother-in-law and sister came up when we were scheduled to, went with Rich and his wife and his cousin, but we were scheduled to go to Sheboygan for some salmon fishing. That was the day that the tornadoes came. It's probably a good thing that they canceled being out on Lake Michigan a few miles that day, wouldn't you think? Okay? The wind and the storm. But so they rescheduled for this last Thursday morning. All right. I've only gone out one other time. I don't know how many years ago it was in Algoma. Friends had a kid that had a boat. We went salmon fishing. It was a blast. But I did not want to get out there and the winds caused me to be sick so that I couldn't fish. Okay. Can you forgive your pastor right now. I really drugged up really well before I went salmon fishing. Okay? That time, I took Dramamine. I had the patch, and I had some ginger to make sure whatever. Because even when that time we went, the person that was driving the boat said, it's getting windy, it's getting bad, we need to go back. I said, I haven't salmon fished in my life. We're fishing. We're not going back. Come on, you guys, you with me here? You know, if you've only done this once in your life, it's not time to go back to the bay where it's calm. It's time to catch fish, because this only happens a couple times in your life. Amen? So, but you have to prepare for it. Once again, you know, Rich was giving me the business, because once again, what did I have? I had those motion things on my wrist. I took Dramamine. Something else that Deb got. Because when I want to fish, I want to be, when it's my turn to catch the fish, I don't want to be in the cabin and say, oh, go ahead and reel my fish in and catch my fish. I want to be able to handle the winds and the storm. Okay, I'm not suggesting you go get a bunch of drugs to handle the winds and the storm. But whatever, the Dramamine and all that stuff, and it was calm, so didn't need any of it on Thursday. But I want you to be prepared to handle the wind and storms in your life. Jesus will help you do that. The Word of God will help you do that. Being committed to the will of God, being committed to church will help you do that. So, it's just a good story. What did Jesus say about Peter? I don't want him to say this about you or me. Oh, you of little faith. When he comes to the earth, what does he say? He says, will I find faith on the earth when I return? Guess what? He's going to find faith in you. Because I'm going to preach faith, and you already know faith, but you're going to be walking in faith. Amen? Let's look at another passage. Two more. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we covered joy, we covered trials. Let's look at endurance just for a little bit. All right, we're still in verse 3. I got to get cruising if I'm going to get through verse 8, right? All right, Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. So you're hearing the word of God this morning, and then you determine what you do with the word of God. You know, I can preach the best sermon in the world, and you can say, oh, man, Pastor preached a good sermon this morning, right? But if you don't take the sermon home and actually do it, that James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works doesn't produce holiness, perseverance, all things. So you actually have to do what you hear. Amen? You know, once in a while I get home, and my wife and my son, you know, they like to razz me. They said, hey, preacher and pastor, do we have a little trouble practicing what we preach? Because I might have preached on something that I was struggling with a little bit. And, you know, them just wanting me to be holy had to remind me of that. Okay, but we want endurance. I want perseverance. Matthew 24, I believe it's verse 13. It says, he that endures to the end will be saved. So you want to endure. If the rapture happens in your lifetime, the second coming happens in your lifetime, when God comes back, that's not a time, I hate to keep hitting on this, but that's not a good time to be lukewarm. That's not a good time to be playing church. That's not a good time to you do what you want to do about half of the time. That was, I'm sorry for stepping on your toes, but that was a good time to say, lay it on us, preacher, amen? Because we need to hear this message, amen? And all the Lutherans said, amen. Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. The ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear it, what does Satan do? What's he going to do? He's going to do it for everybody. He does it for you. He does it for me. He's going to come immediately and try to steal Jesus out of your heart. He's going to try to steal the word of God out of your heart. He's going to try to steal the will of God and the call of God and the purpose of God for the rest of your life out of your heart. That's what the devil's going to do every time you hear the word of God. So some of those seeds didn't go really well. They fell on rocky places. Those are those that heard the word. They received it with joy. They said, oh, man, Pastor was okay today. Man, wow, what a miracle, amen? They received it with joy. But they had no firm root in themselves, but only temporary. I don't know why all those trees went down, but I'm guessing there might have been something wrong with their roots. Okay? Two of the trees that were totally removed that were on the house, I mean, I think the roots were strong enough that the tree went really, really slow to lean up against the house. Now, it's not up against the house now, but it was just amazing just to see that. How deep are your roots? Sometimes, if you, and I'm not good at any of this, somebody can stop and explain it to me, but if you get too much water, do the roots not go down as deep as they should? Is that right? Is that right? Okay. So whatever the point is, because I'm not going to be good at this illustration, I want to have good roots. When the winds and storms of life come, I don't want to be blown over. I don't want the storms to be able to do the damage that the storm wants to do. Trial's going to come. Pressure's going to come. Persecution, difficulties, all that stuff. And you don't want your relationship with God to be blown out of the water. You don't want to be blown over. Once in a while, you're going to get knocked down. That's welcome to life. But you, having done all, you're going to stand. Having done all, your feet are going to be like hinds feet. Having done all, you're going to have your heart established, trusting in God. Verse 17, they had no firm root. How do you get firm root? You're like a tree planted by rivers of living water. Psalm 1, right? How do you get that? You meditate in God's word day and night that you would be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Its leaf does not wither. Its fruit is good. All kinds of good things happen when you have strong roots, strong feet. So you're asking God, make my feet like hinds feet. A hinds is a deer. Is it like a Rocky Mountain goat? They can be on those high, high cliffs, Rocky Mountains. They can jump wherever they jump, go wherever they go. That would not be a good idea for us to try that, would it? All right, but they can do that, and they do it with complete confidence because their feet are used to handling difficult terrain, rocky soil, rocky mountains, and all that different stuff. God wants your feet to be the same. He wants you to be able to handle every difficulty that comes into your life. But they're only temporary. So then when affliction or persecution rises or tornadoes come, what? How many touched down? 15 or 16 in Wisconsin, right? All right? Devastation everywhere. All right? When the storms come, we want to be able to be standing. We won't want to be devastated. What chokes the word? Verse 19, the worries of the world, deceitfulness, riches, the desires for other things. Here's the problem. We like to do our own thing. And it's not just Pastor Andy that struggles with that temptation. All right, we all struggle with that every day of our life. And no, we don't choose our preferences, we choose Jesus. Turn to your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the last passage that we're going to look at today. Man, we're cruising, we're on verse 3. Can you believe it? We skipped verse 1, and we've covered two verses today. All right, let endurance have its perfect work. Let perseverance, you're going to persevere. That causes you to be strong. I want to still be able to be helping people cut up firewood when I'm 75 years old. I'm going to have to do something to make sure that my core stays all right. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. This is Paul. I like to talk about Paul all the time. Thank you, Lord. They're going to get that food ready. It's not just because the pastor's not preaching good. Amen? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Paul said, God, if there's any other way, could you please remove this from me? Has anybody else prayed that prayer? I have. I said, God, come on, God, don't you realize what I'm going through here? He tells me to go read about Paul. Paul called these things momentary light afflictions. And so you're asking God once in a while to remove the trial and the difficulty. Guess what? Part of the difficulty and the trial is a part of you getting strength. All right, they're camping this weekend, but Ryan decided to play some football this fall, so he's going in a couple weeks to go play football and lacrosse. The kid has been lifting weights crazily for the last 4 years. Look at his arms, look at his legs. He's fast, he's strong. Why am I sharing this story? You want strength, you want endurance. And you know what? He loves going to the weight room, all right? But every time after he goes home from the weight room, if he does it right, you know what he encounters for the next 24 hours? What does he encounter? Pain. No pain, no gain. No pain, no muscle. No trials, no maturity. The trials that you have in your life, if you choose to obey God, that's what causes you to become holy. That's what causes you to become mature. And you want to be mature in your faith. You don't want to be weak in your faith. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You don't want to faint, amen? You don't want to give up. You want to persevere. Did you realize that the Christian walk is not a 100-yard dash? All right? This week is going to be a 100-yard dash to try to stay with 400 kids from morning to night and get home on Friday. Amen? That's a 100-yard dash. But guess what? A marathon means you got to get up and do it the following week. Amen? And then the following week after that. And every week is not going to be like camp week. But you have made up your mind that you're going to be passionately in love with Jesus and serve him the rest of your life. So God, Paul says, come on, God. This is not an easy life. Can you do something about this thorn? And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. My ability. My Holy Spirit. Grace also means Holy Spirit. And then he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you realize, and it's pretty easy for me to realize how many weaknesses I have, okay? I realize, man, I better be 100% totally dependent upon God or I'm up a creek without a paddle. Same thing with you. You're up a creek without a paddle in this life if you don't draw on the strength that God has for you. So don't, you know what? Sometimes you're asking God, why don't you just change this? Why don't you just remove this problem and this thorn? And we don't understand life. We never will on this side of heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to care. But his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And we want to draw on the strength of the Lord. Verse 10, I'll be content. There's how you do James chapter 1. That's how you have joy. I learned to be content. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. All right? I don't have to have everything the Joneses have. I just have to have my relationship with God. And hopefully a good relationship with all of you. I'm content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecution, difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's grace is sufficient. His strength will be made perfect in our weakness. Having done all, we will stand, we will endure. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to James 1, and we're going to close with that. Wow, we only got through verse 4 today. That's like a miracle for this guy. You knew that, didn't you? Usually, if I had my way, I'd cover about 32 verses. So, Father, we want to be like James in verse 1, where he was a bondservant. A bondservant, sometimes the word doulos in the Greek means that they had their ear pierced. Not that I'm recommending that. But that means that they were totally dedicated for life to their master. They love their master, and they want to be the servant of their master the rest of their life. And hopefully that's you. Just like James, a bondservant. Okay? Verse 2, Lord, help us to maintain our joy. That's, we have worship. Worship is part of your joy. Worship is part of your relationship with God. The joy of the Lord can be our strength. Father, in this world, we're going to have trials. But we're going to be of good cheer because you overcame, and because the overcomer, Jesus, lives inside of us, we can overcome. Father, we're going to be tested with our faith, but we choose perseverance, and we're going to let endurance have its perfect work so that we can be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's just seek the Lord, see what he has for us in closing today. Thank you, Lord Jesus.